Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for your blessings, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You could be seated tonight. We have a few announcements, and then we'll go into our message for the evening. I recognize it's the night before Thanksgiving, and who knows? Maybe we'll be short tonight, or maybe we won't be. Who knows? It is very hot up here, Dennis. Very hot. So not the temperature. It feels great. Temperature feels great. So we have a couple of announcements. If this is your first time here, if you're a guest, we welcome you. We're excited to have you here. Whatever brings you here, whether it's the holidays or just checking service out, or you're feeling this draw to God, we are excited to worship with you today and excited you are here with us. If you, we have a little half circle in the lobby, a welcome center. We have a couple questions. We'd love to get to know you more, let you maybe ask some questions of us. And if you would, we have a free gift for you if you go out there. So right out in the lobby. But if you're a guest, we're awesome. We're excited to have you here and honored. For some announcements coming up on Friday the 5th, that's next Friday, not tomorrow, the next Friday, we have our all-church prayer right here at the church at 7 p.m. This is our last all-church prayer of the year. That's at church, 7 p.m. on December 5th. And then the next day, we have a prayer walk here at the church for our Madison area from 9 to 11 a.m. So we arrive around 9. We'll give some instructions. We'll send you out to go pray, bundle up. There's snow on the ground, but God's Spirit still moves, and he's walking with us. And so 9 to 11 a.m. is a prayer walk here at church. Praise God. Okay, so Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Thanksgiving. How many people like Thanksgiving food? Yeah? Who did the hoot? Who did the hoot in the back? Oh, that was Dennis. Okay. So Thanksgiving food. You guys all like Thanksgiving food? Everybody. Not Derek. Okay. Don't boo Derek. Okay, that's not nice. Okay. So, I apologize to my wife in advance because I've done this multiple times, and we are very much in disagreement on this. So you do, can I see your hands? You like Thanksgiving food? Do you love Thanksgiving food? What are your favorite Thanksgiving things that you eat? Yeah.
Rolls and mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, rolls. Yeah, what else?
What do you,
apple pie. Oh, that's pretty good. What? Who's it? Jerky? Turkey. Somebody said turkey. What did you say, Sister Thorpe? Pumpkin pie. Yes, Carl. Squash. Pumpkin roast? Okay, what did you say?
Pumpkin rolls.
Oh, that's if you know Grandma Kitty. You might. Sorry, now everybody knows the secret's out. What else do you like to eat on Thanksgiving?
Cranberry sauce,
deviled eggs. Do I hear green bean casserole? Woo, yeah. Do I hear, no, oh, wow, says all the youth. Do I hear sweet potato something or other? Yams, whatever you tend to go with or call it. Yes, awesome. It's stuffing. Is anybody a stuffing fan? Do you put it in the turkey while it cooks, or do you just make it on the side afterwards? No? Is that a bad thing? Are we doing this wrong, Sister Lori? In your opinion. Okay. Well, opinions are welcome. That's okay. We're not into the word yet. We're just talking about food. When it comes to the word, it's not about opinions of it's what God says. But when it comes to, I didn't do that for an applause. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, this is all opinion. So people like Thanksgiving food. I would like to propose to you tonight that none of you like Thanksgiving food. Stay with me here, boys. Stay with me. You like turkey, right? And stuffing and stuff like that. Raise your hands. How many people have had stuffing since last Thanksgiving? A couple of you. How many times? More than three. Raise your hands. Okay. I actually am in that boat. We do that as a side. How many people have had sweet potato casserole more than three times in the last year? How many people have baked or fried or cooked an entire turkey more than the sliced deli roll things don't count? An entire turkey in the last, more than twice in the last year. Derek's got it. See, this is it. You got to do that. One guy went to a church one time and he sat up there. He was like, think about it. You know, that was his thing. Wait, though. I mean, cranberries. Everybody has cranberries every week, right? Wait. So let me ask you something. How many times a year do you have pizza? Because I'm telling you, I love pizza, and I have it every single week. And so what I'm saying is maybe you don't like it as much as you think you like it. My theory is that there's this tradition, and you all have to listen to this now. I'm sorry. You didn't know this when you voted. Like, there's this tradition of, like, when we had little kids, this is when this hit me. When it was like a revelation from God or something. And it hit me. Why am I spending 3 hours preparing a meal and 3 hours cleaning up after the meal to sit for 20 minutes feeding my kids while my food gets cold? And I realized, like, wait, I could have ordered pizza, right? And so my theory is that if it was good, it's just, you answered it. If it was good, you'd eat it more than once a year. Like pizza or mac and cheese or chicken nuggets. But I think what's really great about Thanksgiving is it's less about the taste of the food, if you're being honest. You're all going to disagree with me after church. That's okay. We're still on the opinion phase of the message. Okay? You're all going to disagree. But what I think it is remembering to sit at my grandpa's house or my grandma's house. It was it was my grandma's pie that she made. It was the memories and the smells and all that stuff. That's what I truly love about Thanksgiving. And I have a problem. Well, I don't. But all of you have a problem separating the food from the memories and the tradition. I know I'm mostly wrong here. Okay, I'm just having fun. But it does make you wonder. If you liked it, wouldn't you do it more? Right? So I want to read tonight from Psalms 116, verse 17. Psalms 116, that doesn't really have to do with the message. I just wanted to see what you guys all thought. 116, verse 17. And this is David. I believe it's David, and he's writing. He says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. This is not the only time in the Bible that thanksgiving is mentioned. And it does mention the sacrifice of thanksgiving quite a few times. This is very interesting to me, especially since for me to eat Thanksgiving food is a sacrifice, right? So this really struck with me. For the record, last year I think we did, I convinced my sister and my mom, or my dad, to do ribs, much to the chagrin of my wife and my mom, who really wanted it. So we did something not Thanksgiving, and it was awesome. Whew, trying to start a new tradition. Tomorrow we'll be having turkey and sweet potatoes and green beans. So anyway, so Psalms 116, 17, it says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. So this idea of giving thanks in the Bible is seen as a sacrifice, but where does this start? Well, I hate to do it to you, but we have to go to Leviticus. The book you've all been dreading. It's hard to read through. You've fallen asleep probably, but we're going to go to Leviticus. And before we get into a verse, I want to talk about this, what Leviticus was about. Leviticus was about, and I'm stealing a little bit of this from somebody else I heard talk about this. It's the Bible Project. But at the start of Leviticus, they cannot go into the temple of God. And at the end of Leviticus, it shows Moses in the temple of God. And so Leviticus is this book that spans the gap to show the people of Israel what it takes to go from being not clean or not holy to being able to be in the presence of a clean and holy God. So that's what Leviticus is. And it has things like how to purify yourself if you accidentally touch an animal feces, or if you accidentally touch blood, you got to purify yourself. And it's really long, and I know it's boring, but there's these lessons in there. It also gives you all these sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. There's the burnt offering, which is this offering that it's mandatory. You have to give it. You put the offering on the altar. The priest takes the skin, and the whole thing burns up. It kind of goes to God, as it were, right? We read about the grain offering, which is mandatory, a little bit voluntary, but you had to do it. And the priests would eat the grain offering. So you'd bring this grain offering, you'd burn a portion of it, and then the priests would eat the rest of it, right? This was a grain offering. It was a gift of worship or an acknowledgement of God's presence. Then there's the sin offering or the purification offering, this atonement for unintentional sin. So it's like you had this unintentional sin, you got an atonement getting right, getting back into good standing with God, so you'd have to give this sacrifice as part of the sin offering. And it was mandatory. If something accidentally happened, you had to give this sacrifice. And the priests, and a lot of times these were animals, except for the grain offering, and you'd bring a goat or a cow or a dove or field mouse. I don't know what they're all listed as, but not a field mouse. But you'd bring all these things to the priest, and they would sacrifice it. And this was a ritual they did. The fourth offering they did was the guilt offering. It's for atonement again, or restitution for wrongdoing. If you did wrong, you had to give this sacrifice or this offering, and it was mandatory. And the priests ate everything. You gave it, the priests ate everything. But sandwiched in these offerings, there's this fifth sacrifice that is noted in Leviticus called the peace offering. And the peace offering had three different ways you could offer the peace offering. So the peace offering was all about being in fellowship or communion with God. There was this idea of sharing a meal in God's presence. That's the peace offering. And the peace offering, whatever one you chose, was completely voluntary. And you didn't have to do it. You could do it if you wanted. There was no pressure. These other ones, mostly mandatory. You commit a sin, you do this offering. You touch something, you got to do this offering, this sacrifice. But the peace offerings were all voluntary. And the peace offerings were a free will offering, a vow offering, and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving was this offering that was given voluntarily. So let's read what it says about the sacrifice of thanksgiving in Leviticus 7. Leviticus 7, starting at 11, verse through 15, we'll say. Now, this is the law of the fellowship sacrifice that someone may present to the Lord. If he presents it for thanksgiving, because there's three types of peace offerings, remember, we're talking about the thanksgiving. And it says may present, if he presents it for thanksgiving, in addition to the thanksgiving sacrifice, that's the animal, he is to present unleavened cakes mixed with olive oil, unleavened wafers coated with oil, and well-kneaded cakes of fine flour mixed with oil. He is to present at his offering cakes of leavened bread with his thanksgiving sacrifice of fellowship. From the cakes, he is to present one portion of each offering as a contribution to the Lord. It will belong to the priest who splatters the blood of the fellowship offering. It is his. The meat of his thanksgiving sacrifice fellowship must be eaten on the day he offers it. He may not leave any of it until morning. Okay, so there's a lot of verses there. We're going to break it down. So Leviticus has five verses talking about this offering. There's another couple in chapter 22, which we get to. But a great way to see how the Jewish people or the Hebrew nation reviewed this was to read the Talmud. The Talmud is their the Hebrew writings and how they kept track of things throughout the years. So if you read the Talmud, this is what they say about the Thanksgiving sacrifice. One, it was not noted when to bring the offering. This is what they said. It doesn't say in what I just read when to bring an offering, did it? It didn't say with what? What are you thankful for? It just says, if you're going to give an offering, it's a voluntary offering. You may present to the Lord, verse 11. But the purpose of this offering was to acknowledge and express gratitude to God as the source of your blessings, your protection, and your deliverance. It was to thank God for deliverance from major danger, to publicly testify of his goodness, and to gather the community around in praise. They said in the Talmud, like when you had to bring it, you had to bring your one animal, that's your sacrifice, and you had to bring 40 loaves of bread. You had to bring 30 unleavened loaves and 10 leavened loaves. And when you brought them, how they would do it is the priest would take one unleavened loaf, it said that in verse 15, I think, he'd take a portion of each. He'd take one unleavened loaf, which left you with 29 loaves of bread. I don't know how big they were. 29 loaves of unleavened bread and 9 loaves of leavened bread. That's the ones that rise. And the animal, it says, the priests would take their portion, which was like a shoulder and another portion. You take the fat and the entrails from the animal and you put it on the altar and you burn it to God. So God gets the fat and the entrails. And the rest, this is interesting, the rest is to be eaten by the worshiper. You don't see this in a lot of the other offerings. It gets eaten by the priest or it gets burned up to heaven or it's a combination of both. But the Thanksgiving offering, these peace offerings, the worshiper and his family eat this offering. The other thing that we see in the scripture is there's a time limit to this offering. It has to be eaten the same day and night. You cannot offer your meat. The priest takes his portion. You burn the portion to God. You take the rest, this lamb or whatever you brought, and you're like, I've got to eat this by the end of the day. Or it doesn't count. I'm adding that verbiage, but it's saying it must be eaten the day he offers it. And then, you know, what you're seeing in this idea, the rabbis would look at this, the idea is that one must not hide their miracle. or their deliverance. It's supposed to be this public thing. You bring your offering. You bring your thanks. You give your thanks. It's something you bring and people see it. It's supposed to be a public thing. In fact, they say that thanksgiving is superior to petition because thanksgiving focuses on God and petition focuses on me. Thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. Petition is asking God to do something. It's okay to petition. I'm not saying that. But there's this idea that thanksgiving is the superior sacrifice. And so as we think through this and we read through this verse, I want to focus on five main thoughts that I take from this verse. Like I said, we're going to be short tonight. The first thought is that they prepared their bread and brought their animal and traveled to Jerusalem. So if you were going to bring this offering of thanksgiving, you would, wherever you were from, maybe you were in Jerusalem, maybe if you weren't, you would prepare your animal, you'd bring, you'd slaughter it when you get to the tabernacle, but you'd bring your animal, you bake your bread, and then you go on this long trip, wherever you were going, to Jerusalem, maybe even have to wait in line while people were giving their sacrifices, and you would give your sacrifice. And so the first thing I see in here is that the sacrifice of thanksgiving was deliberate. It was something you chose to do. It's not a passing thing. It's not that something that happens on the side sometimes, maybe if you feel like it. It is about feel like it. We'll get to that. But it's a deliberate, intentional action. In fact, remember I said it doesn't say when to bring it? Well, a lot of the Hebrew nation, they started tying when to offer thanks with Psalms 107. Psalms 107 is very interesting because at four different points, it talks about being thankful to God for he is merciful, you know, praising God, all this stuff. But it covers, these four categories cover pretty much everything. I'm not going to read through all the verses, but in verse 23 through 30, it talks about one who crosses the sea. And so the first thing that we are thankful for God for, that they might have brought a sacrifice for, was because of some sort of natural force or disaster that God delivered them from. It might even be some sort of spiritual or mental or emotional where life was feeling chaotic and God delivered them. It might be overwhelming external circumstances that God delivered them from. But the idea is that it was something outside of their control. And so they might bring it for that reason. Another reason you see in Psalms 107, and I encourage you to read it. It's a quick read. It's like 20-something verses, 30 verses. The second reason we see is verses 4 through 7. They thanked God for the people who were delivered while they traveled through the wilderness. So maybe for them this was a thanksgiving because of God's deliverance from them being lost. For them it was truly in the wilderness, but for us, as we're thinking about this, if God has brought you from being lost, if God has brought you from being confused, if God has helped you find direction and clarity, that might be a reason to bring that sacrifice. The fourth reason is in chapter 17 through 20 was illness. It says one who had been healed from serious illness. They might come to bring thanks to God because they were delivered from something that was going on in their body. They might have been delivered from something physically or emotionally or mentally. It might have been a thought process or a habit, but God delivered them. They might have been broken, like physically, and God healed them or delivered them from that sickness, or maybe it was some sort of mental, emotional thing. So we're talking about natural forces or danger. We're talking about being lost. We're talking about illness. And the fourth thing that they would bring an offering for is oppression. One who has been released from prison or captivity. This is in verses 10 through 14. And so they might offer thanks because they've been delivered from addiction or bad habits or wrong mindsets. Or maybe even circumstances that can entrap us, whether we set them ourselves or whether they happen to us. And so this first idea that it was deliberate was that people would think about the things God had done in their life and they would bring their sacrifice, they would give their sacrifice of thanks for God doing that. It was deliberate. The second thing we see in this Leviticus is that it was voluntary. The thanksgiving offering, giving of thanks, is totally up to you. It's yours to do. You can do it. You can not do it. It was used to express gratitude to God freely. Let's go to Leviticus 22:29. This is what it says as it's going to the, as it describes it again. It says, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. Don't do it because someone told you to. Don't do it because some preacher or priest told you, you got to do this to be Christian. It's like, no, thanksgiving is something, this sacrifice, this thanksgiving is something they brought willingly because you remembered or thought about the things God had done for you. So it was deliberate and it was voluntary. The third thing we see in this verse is that it had fellowship attached to it. Because think about this. This is a unique idea. You bring your sacrifice with your breads, and some of it gets burnt, so God takes it. God's eaten. Some of it the priest takes and eats, and some of it you and your family eat. It's literally a shared meal with God. There's this fellowship that happens when we are pursuing the sacrifice of giving thanks. So, like I said, God eats the fat that's burned on the altar. The priest eats the breast and the thigh, and the worshiper gets the rest of the meat and the remaining loaves. This is a special connection point in the relationship with God, the covenant they had with God. You weren't there bringing something because you had to or because you did wrong. Remember, it's the higher categories, the peace offering. They were doing it because they wanted to fellowship with God and express gratitude for what he'd done in their life, had done in their life. It was a shared meal with God. When you think about it, that thanksgiving is this, giving thanks included some sort of shared meal or fellowship with God, it makes a little bit more sense when you read Psalms 95:2, and it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Thanksgiving or giving of thanks brings us into the presence of God. It brings us into this right standing with God. We're like, hey, when I enter in, when I know I'm going to be near God, I'm going to offer thanks. And by the offering of thanks, it brings us in to his presence because he comes to sit at the table with us. Psalms 100, verse 4 through 5 says similar. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Giving thanks, the sacrifice of giving thanks is an important part of our relationship with God. So we talked about it's deliberate, it's voluntary, it's fellowship. The fourth thing is that it's immediate. This is interesting. The entire offering had to be eaten that day. You had to eat 29 unleavened loaves. That sits in the stomach, I'm telling you. Right? 9 leavened loaves and whatever was left of the animal you brought after they took the shoulder and the thigh. What we see in this immediate idea is that giving thanks is supposed to happen in the moment. It's not something happens and you do later. It's not something that you collect up. You're like, well, now I got all my thankses and my thanksgivings, I'm going to go this. Giving thanks is something we do in the moment. It's supposed to be immediate. It should be expressed in the now. And that really ties into what I think is the fifth thing I see in here, is that it was shared. It was shared. Yes, there's fellowship with God. But imagine if Derek, I'm going to use you because you don't like Thanksgiving food either. Imagine if you and your wife and your three children brought your big sheep, right? And you brought it for an offering and you brought your 40 loaves and they take one of each loaf. So you got 29 and 9, that's 38. Wow, 38 loaves. And you got that sheep and you got to eat it by the end of the day. How do you do that? You share it. The rabbis that have studied this and wrote about this all these years, the purpose was that this would be shared. Because just experiencing a good thing from God and not telling anybody about it doesn't really help anybody. It was about creating a culture of giving thanks and of talking about God's goodness wherever you went. And so the amount of food almost required you to invite others. The animal was too large to eat just with your family. And it was a way to express God's goodness to others. It was a public testimony so others heard about God's goodness. So you brought this deliberate offering that was totally voluntary, that was part of your fellowship or communion with God that you did immediately and you shared with your friends and family. That's what we're talking about with culture. Giving thanks was part of the culture because giving thanks glorified God. The Bible says, do all for the glory of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so it's too often good things happen in our lives and we don't tell people about them. Maybe we'll post it on Facebook because that's cool and I get credit points for that. But I'm not there telling my friends, God did this great thing in my life. But the giving of thanks is supposed to be public. It's supposed to be shared. And that's what we see in this. And as we move on, we see these other stories. I'm going to read one from Jonah and Hebrews. But we see this idea that the sacrifice of giving thanks, the sacrifice of thanksgiving was deliberate, it was voluntary, it was fellowship or communion with God. It happened immediately, and it was shared. Sounds a lot like the Thanksgivings we have. But, you know, things are different now. We don't bring, you know, I'm tying in a holiday, a very American holiday, right? Nobody else celebrates this. I'm tying an American holiday with a very, like, 4,000-year-old Hebrew tradition, right? I recognize that we do not sacrifice goats and pigs and, well, they didn't sacrifice goats and sheep anymore. I recognize that. So when we start reading further in the Bible what this looks like, even David, he's saying, I will give the sacrifice of praise, which is thanksgiving. But let's go to Jonah. Jonah gets swallowed by a whale. He's in the belly of the whale. There's no altars or probably lambs in the belly of that whale. He did not cook up some bread. But in 2:9, Jonah 2:9, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so we start to see this shift that, yes, it starts as this animal, and that's what God's showing us in the principle that it is deliberate and deliberate and that it is voluntary and that it is fellowship and that it is immediate and that it is shared. That still is the same. I can still share the good things God has done in my life by talking to the people that are closest to me about it or anybody that'll listen. And Jonah was saying it starts for him. He's like, I don't have the bread and I don't have the sheep. I'm going to give you my voice of thanksgiving. I'm going to say things and say, God, thank you for what you've done. Or, hey, guess what? You should know my God, Tommy. This is what he did in my life. I am so thankful to my God. Like, I need to share that. I always appreciate Tommy. Tommy always tells me the cool things. He's always sharing me the good things. Like, God's so great. You know, it's just like, we need to have that culture. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. For us now, we might not have to bring this animal and these 40 loaves to the altar, to the priest to take care of. But we can still be deliberate in the giving of thanks. It should be voluntary. It should be something you feel compelled to do. It should be like, wow, I've thought about the things God has done in my life. And sometimes we need to pause and actually think about the things God has done in our lives. Because life passes us by and it's not deliberate and it's not immediate and it's not voluntary. And then Thanksgiving comes around and your grandma or your mom or your aunt or your dad or your uncle's like, oh, let's all say what we're thankful for. And you're like, I didn't hit a red light yesterday. But there's some meaningful things I believe God has done in our lives, in your lives, that should be shared. And so we can give this verbally and it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer. That's what's cool. It wasn't a sacrifice that was offered one time a year. It wasn't every 6 months. You could do it as often as you wanted. It was totally voluntary. As much as God was blessing you, you could thank him. As big or as small as God was blessing you, you could thank him. And so, if you could stand with me. I told you we'd be short. Let's not wait for this holiday that happens on the fourth Thursday of November each year to give thanks to God. Let's not wait. Let's not wait for the fourth Thursday of November to give thanks to God every year. But instead, let's make it deliberate. Let's deliberately give thanks to God. Let's voluntarily give thanks to God. Let's give thanks to God when it happens. Let's recognize that when we give thanks to God, we should share with others, and it brings us in fellowship with Him. It brings us closer to His presence. But also, while we shouldn't wait for the holiday, let's not waste the holiday. It is tomorrow. Let's not waste a great holiday. We can refocus this year and give thanks and make giving thanks a normal part of our holiday and our lives. Just like if you like Thanksgiving food, you should eat it more often. If you like giving thanks, we should give it more often. If God is blessing you, let's find it. Let's find out what He's doing and let's thank Him for it. And let's share with our family. Let's share with our friends, because that's what giving thanks is all about. And so, I want to encourage you tonight. I want to do two things, okay? We're going to end a little differently. One, you heard it from me, and our traditions are, we go to a different place, a different time. It's not always the same, but we're going to lead in this. I want to encourage you to take time before or during your dinner tomorrow, if you're able, if the situation permits, and voluntarily share something that God has done for you. Not something cheesy or fake. Don't tell them about the red lights. But something that God has truly done for you. Because that's what it's for. It's to be shared. And so tonight, as they start to sing, I want you to spend some time in prayer and worship. Maybe you're going to sing. Maybe you're going to think about the song. But I want you to talk to God. And this is your prayer tonight. I'm helping you. Your prayer tonight is, God, what are some things that you've done in my life that I've forgotten about? What are some things that I haven't given you thanks for? And this is not, don't beat yourself up. No. I did this morning. I was writing this down in my journal. God, what? And I was writing down a bunch of stuff. And I want you to start thinking about it and praying about it. We're going to give you about 5 minutes while they sing. And then I'm going to come back up. I'm going to dismiss us because we got all the time in the world. And you're going to find somebody tonight and share something good God has done for you. Maybe it was 10 years ago and you forgot. Maybe it was 10 years ago and you haven't shared it. I don't know. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was this morning. But you're going to share it. So take some time right now. And just meditate on God and ask God, show me the things you've done in my life. Help me bring them to memory.
To my life, you have been faithful. And to my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath.